సహజ సాధన ఎఫర్ట్లెస్ అవేర్నెస్ బై స్వామి రామ్ సుఖదాస్ మహారాజ్జీ. చాప్టర్ 7 డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది అన్రియల్. ది అన్రియల్ విచ్ డస్ నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఎవ్రీవేర్ ఆల్ ద టైమ్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ యాక్షన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ పర్సన్ స్టేట్ సర్కమ్స్టెన్స్ అండ్ ఇన్సిడెంట్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఈజ్ యాక్చువల్లీ నాన్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్. Lord Krishna declares, the unreal has no existence. Gita chapter 2 verse 16. That which exists in a particular area or at a particular time or in a particular action or thing or person or state or circumstance or incident does not actually exist anywhere, anytime, in anything or person, etc. That which exists in certain bodies, classes, castes, groups, and stages of life only can't actually exist anywhere. If it seems to exist, it is transient. If the sense of doership is perceived in some persons, but it is not perceived in others, it means that it is not real. It is merely assumed. Similarly, evils such as desires, anger, greed, delusion, arrogance, envy, and jealousy, etc., sometimes appear in the mind, while sometimes they do not appear. It means that actually they have no existence of their own. They are not. If they had been real, they might have neither decreased nor vanished. In fact, modifications such as lust and anger have no independent existence. Modifications and independent existence are contrary to each other. How can modifications have an existence of their own when they change? How can the reality, which has an independent existence of its own and which remains the same, undergo any modification? It is by misapprehension that we assume such modifications as lust and anger, etc., in us. Thus, by assuming them in us, we try to wipe them out. But actually, we strengthen them by supposing their pre-existence. Footnote. Here, a question arises. If evils such as lust and anger, etc., have no existence of their own, then how does an aspirant degrade himself by accepting them in his own self? The answer is that after a nightmare, even after awakening, the heart shivers and throbs. It means that happenings of the dream have their effect in the wakeful state. Similarly, evils such as lust and anger, etc., by having accepted in the self, cause the downfall of the aspirant. Downfall or degradation here means deviation from the spiritual discipline. Such deviation does not allow God realization to him. Similarly, he can make progress by accepting the fact that they have no existence. In the same way, in the school of non-dualism, the pupil realizes the divinity by accepting himself as divinity by a mere dialogue between the preceptor and the pupil. End of footnote. Similarly, we accept independent existence of the mind. So thoughts and projections come to the mind, but they are changing every moment, while the real does not undergo any change. That which undergoes changes has no existence. It is by misapprehension that we give existence to that which has no existence at all. The unreal has no existence, but by an error we have assumed its existence. This existence is merely assumed and imaginative. Similarly, the world has no independent existence. But when the real self accepts existence of the unreal because of its reality, the unreal seems to exist in the same way as fuel, coal, pebbles, stones and potsherds, etc. shine brightly when they are put on fire, though they are not bright. The unreal may manifest but has really no existence. The reason is that whatever does not exist anytime and anywhere does not exist ever and at all. But the real God does not cease to exist at any place, at any time, in any action, in any object, in any state, in any circumstance, and in any incident. That which does not cease to exist at any time and at any place has existence at all times and at all places. So the Lord declares, the real never ceases to be. Gita chapter 2 verse 16. As far as actions, things, persons, places and time etc. are concerned, they neither existed in the past nor will exist in future, and at present also decaying every moment. But God was even the same, will remain the same, and is the same now. He ever remains the same without undergoing any change. He is in the vision of someone while not in that of others. It does not prove his non-existence. This is either the defect or absence of vision. Therefore, in spite of having his existence, he is not perceived. The world is automatically and continuously going into naught, while God is ever attained spontaneously. The world is illusory. It cannot be attained because an illusion can never be attained, and that which is ever existent does not appear. Appearance has no existence. The world never exists. If we want to explain the fact that only God exists to the person who is attached to the world, we shall have to say, the world does not exist, only God exists. But if this fact is to be explained to the person who is not attached to the world, we shall only have to say, only God exists. If a coward by error perceives a snake instead of a rope, we console him by saying, it is not a snake, it is a rope. While to a brave man, we only say, it is a rope. It means that we have to renounce attachment to the world only if we are attached to it by accepting its existence. Otherwise, we naturally remain detached without any effort. The world is represented by objects and actions. When we, out of ignorance, accept existence of the world, we desire objects and are inclined to engage in actions. Actually, the self is transcendent and inactive. But we are inclined to act due to our liking for objects and actions. Even if such an activity appears, the self always remains actionless. Desire for objects and inclinations to actions lead us to naught, but no one wants such nothingness. A man, the embodied soul, is attracted towards the mundane because of the predominance of the matter fragment in him, while he is attracted towards God because of the predominance of the spirit fragment in him. The attraction for the world results in naught, while the attraction for God results in divine love and God realization. Love and enlightenment are two sides of the same coin. Without enlightenment, love is nothing but attachment, because without realizing the non-existence of the world, a man has attachment rather than love for the world, and without love, enlightenment is a zero, because by realizing the non-existence of the world, nothing remains but zero. The self cannot know the unreal in its true nature without being distinct from it, because really it is totally distinct from it. The real can be known by merging the self in it, because both are integral. To be distinct from the unreal means detachment from the unreal, and identification with the real means love for the real. The self is ever totally detached from the unreal by nature, but so long as it is attached and attracted towards it by regarding it as pleasant, it cannot know it really and cannot be detached from it. Similarly, the real God is ever attained, but without attraction for him, we cannot know him, that is, attain him. We can merely discuss him by having a bookish knowledge about him. We may feel proud of this knowledge, but we cannot realize him. Having no attraction for the unreal, we get detached from it. Such detachment leads us to the realization of the non-existence of the unreal and existence of the real, and all sorts of agonies perish. We know the real by having attraction for the real. By knowing the real as real, the real God is realized and bliss is attained. Total detachment from the unreal and attainment of the real are simultaneous. Similarly, destruction of sorrows and attainment of bliss are simultaneous. They are different only in names. The reason is that the unreal world neither existed nor exists nor will exist, but the real God was ever in existence and will remain in existence whether we believe in his existence or not, whether we know him or not, whether we accept him or not, and whether we realize him or not. The real God has always his independent existence. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan.